It's February 24th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 929. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. No intro tonight. I am sitting in a hotel in the Washington, D.C. area. Absolutely jet-lagged beyond belief, but I got a great show for you tonight. This is the first time in a long time that Simple was better. Decided not to lug the entire stack of gear with me this time. I'm just using a small Tascam recorder and my standard headset. So basically a real small package of stuff, threw it in my regular suitcase. And it was kind of refreshing because I got in the hotel this morning and ba-boom, I was just like fired the computer up, set the Tascam up. I'm like, wow, that didn't take 45 minutes. So, yeah, pretty refreshing. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, normally I record this show out of my studio in Honolulu, but I'm on travel this week. Going to have two shows on the road, which are going to be audio only. And kind of, what we're going to call abbreviated road show tonight, especially being that my eyelids want to basically drop. But it's been a long day already. It started out Sunday, 5 a.m. I rolled out of bed, got a bunch of stuff done. Basically was ready to go to the airport by about 10:30 Honolulu Standard Time. And then gotten into D.C. here about, 7 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time, which I'd already been up to close to about 19 or 20 hours then. But didn't sleep a lot coming across, so yeah, I'm just dragging just a little bit. But got a great show lined up for you. We'll get into the content here in just a few minutes, and I mean just a few minutes. But again, I want to give a warm welcome to the Johanna and longtime listener of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at geeknews. We want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the content, and get subscribed to the show and the newsletter and everything that's over there. Well, I tell you, this show tonight is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. And GoDaddy's got some great deals for you this month. In order to save some money, all you got to do is visit my landing page on Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Shows all the special offerings that are available. We've got 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain by using the promo code 50HOST7. We got 50% off the first 12 months of Business Website Builder with a free domain using promo code 50WSB7, and 32% off your order at GoDaddy using the promo code GO32OFF1. There's links to take you directly to GoDaddy from that landing page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, along with some additional promo codes for you to use. We appreciate when you share those with your friends, family members, people that you know, so that they can get maximize the savings that that you get it. That you get by listening to this show. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And again, I do apologize. A pretty long day. And you know what was kind of, you know, thinking, okay, it's going to be a typical Monday. Lots of email. When I landed in LAX, I got rid of kind of all the junk mail that would build up over the 5 or so hours that I was in the air from Honolulu to LAX, and then. Flying out of LAX to San Francisco and the trip down. Of course, there was huge traffic on the Beltway this morning, so that didn't help things at all. There was some sort of wreck near Baltimore, well, heading towards Baltimore in the Beltway. And so sitting in traffic for a couple of hours, that blew. But other than that, got back and got in the hotel and it's been nonstop. I think I spent 3 or 4 hours replying to email this morning. It's like everyone wants my attention at the same time. It was all good because all of it was business-related, revenue potential and everything else. So move forward. Hey, had a email come in from Gary Leland. The Pottertainment magazine has launched on iTunes. I have a link to it in the show notes for you guys to check out. So that's up and available. Episode 1 is now on the street. And because of the delay in the app, he's going to basically make that the first article, then he'll push 30 days to the next article. So anyway, definitely check out my article on the Pottertainment Magazine. Get subscribed, and you'll learn all about podcasting there. Did have a great guest this past Saturday as well on the New Media Show. Go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the content we've been putting up recently. More to come. Matter of fact, I had all the hard drives and everything that with CES videos and some stuff that we haven't finished yet that came with me, and hopefully tomorrow evening I'll be able, after a party I have to go to, I'll be able to get through some of that and get some more videos up. Looks like the hotel internet connection is pretty good, but not bad. I think we'll see how the audio quality turns out for the show, but at least the feedback in the headset doesn't sound too bad. So I'm crossing my fingers tonight that this is a good show. So anyway, we're going to not waste any time. Again, abbreviated show, but I do have a lot of content to get through. So we're going to start off. We're just going to jump right into it. And again, thanks to everyone that's part of the Ohana, and those of you that are supporting the show by becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, if you haven't heard, there's big, big, big security bug with the iOS 7 infrastructure. If you have an iOS 7 phone, if you have a tablet, you probably will have gotten a notice today that there's an update available. So please update to iOS 7.0.6. And this is to patch a bug in its implementation of SSL encryption. This is huge, and the bug was really, really, really bad. Now, SSL is the Internet's standard defense against eavesdropping and really web hijacking. And this bug essentially meant that when you're emailing, tweeting, using Facebook, or checking your bank account from a shared network, like a public Wi-Fi or anything that really is public accessible, an attacker could be listening or even maliciously modifying what goes to your iPhone or iPad. It was, I mean, by all people that were basically reporting on this, they said it's bad, really bad. And the folks at Hacker News were talking about it. They were in disbelief, and it was all based on a typo. A very basic programming mistake that should have been caught. Just don't know how, but this is was just, you know, programmers saw this and were like, how did that one get by? But definitely it's a function that was called, and it basically passes over the authentication. And but the iOS 7.076 update will do that, as well as OS 10.9.1, apparently is still affected by the vulnerability. So do not be using your Mac to essentially connect to banking and that type of stuff, because it definitely is a big bug. So we'll probably see more updates coming from Apple pretty quickly here. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. Switching topics completely, the U.S. Attorney General wants a law requiring notifications after data breaches. We all know that large-scale data breaches have become really pretty common, and U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder wants to do more than just catch the thieves. He's asked Congress to create a federal law that would require companies to notify customers after a serious intrusion. This proposal would exempt firms from reporting low-risk breaches, but it would also punish companies that either don't send a quick alert or haven't been doing enough to protect data on their own. So this the would-be law isn't strictly necessary when 45 states, of course, have already notification requirements, but it would hold corporations to a similar standard across the country. And I think this is a good thing from a basically from a consumer standpoint. Over on Wired. Now, how many of you watched the NBC series Heroes before? Well, NBC announced this past weekend that it's digging up the corpse of Heroes for basically they're calling Heroes Reborn. It's going to be 13 television episodes that's going to air next year, along with a complimentary digital series that will introduce new characters and storylines. So in a statement released late Friday, of last week, NBC Entertainment President Jennifer Salke said that shows with this kind of resonance don't come around often, and we thought it was time for another installment. And this is big. My kids are going to be stoked. I'm pretty stoked. I'm a big Heroes fan, and they've actually got a Heroes trailer that they've already put out. But we'll see where this leads. But Heroes is coming back to NBC. So I'm always glad when the shows that I like specifically are going to be, as they call it, reborn. Now, one thing I had neglected to do was watch the Netflix series House of Cards. I hadn't watched season one, so I had gotten some time Saturday afternoon. You know, I've been pretty busy. I haven't had a lot of time to decompress over the past month and a half, 2 months. So Saturday afternoon, or actually early Saturday evening, started in House of Cards and watched four of the episodes before sleep got the better of me. But what a series. I am just, it's a little bit predictable so far. I know it's got a cult following. We'll see how well I do with it as it goes on. But if politics plays the way they appear it to play in House of Cards, actually in D.C., as I was telling my wife as I was getting ready to head this way from Hawaii, I told her, I said, maybe I ought to take a pair of boots so I won't get all the BS that's on the ground in D.C., because it's, you know, the BS runs pretty thick here, littered pretty dirty, so, but anyway, it's a good primer to come to the nation's capital. All right, you Facebook fans, if those of you that are using the @facebook.com email service, well, Facebook has pulled the plug. You know, when Facebook email service launched in 2010, Zuckerberg and company touted the system's basic approach to messaging, basically thinking no attachment or CC/BCC feature. However, it's been basically confirmed that barely anyone was using the service. And so anyway, that's good news that they've shut that down. I'm sure everyone is real happy to know that their @facebook.com site or email was the plug was pulled. I never used it to begin with, so tells you how popular it was. All right, there's an interesting write-up on Yahoo, and I was curious about this because the title of it was U.S. Freezes Assets of Work-at-Home Web Firms Promising Thousands. Anytime someone says work at home, make money, you always kind of like raise your eyebrows a little bit, right? And, you know, traditionally there's been lots of multi-level marketing type companies that have been traditionally work at home for many, many years besides the contracting business and what they did after I basically, what my parents did after I left home many, many years ago. They were very, very successful Amway distributors. And they, you know, basically, for many, many years, probably were on the upper echelon of folks that earned money through that MLM. And you know, I today even buy some of their products still today. And I know many folks are still distributors on that multi-level marketing. You know, there's other ones out there, Herbalife, Avon. You know, there's a large number of multi-level marketing groups. But what has sprung up around these groups have been folks that are essentially business consultants. And I often say that these folks are probably folks that didn't make it in the traditional sense where they actually had to work hard and put blood, sweat, and tears behind any type of business. These are the folks that couldn't hack it there. So what do they become? They become basically professionals that are putting together, or maybe not professionals, but scammers that put together useless work-at-home kits, business coaching services, all kinds of different things that kind of crop up around some MLM systems. And I find it very interesting here that a U.S. District Court in Utah has frozen the assets of several internet business coaches accused of lying to customers about the potential earnings after signing up for the service. Now, what it is they are misrepresenting some of the services that they are basically promoting. The commission said the companies lured customers by offering a proven and guaranteed home job to make $379 a day from home. But I think we all know that most consumers probably earn little or no money, end up heavily in debt. Primarily, it looks like the company that was involved in this was some Herbalife distributors were doing these business coaching to get rich quick. And I think any of us know that if you're going to start any business like that, whether it be Herbalife, Avon, Tupperware, I don't even know, is Avon still even in business? I don't know. But any of those businesses, you know, folks that actually make money on that, they work like dogs. It's a full-time job. It's not some part-time gig. So it's just sad to see these type of scammers come in and really make a negative impact for what probably is overall are pretty good companies by making false claims and promises and getting people's hopes up. I think we all pretty much are all aware that you have to look at stuff with an objective eye. And I encourage anyone that's ever approached by someone that's basically offering a get-rich-quick scheme or some sort of multi-level marketing stuff that, you know, basically it sounds too good to be true. It probably is. And I know for a fact with my parents having done Amway for a number of years and being very successful with it after I had left home was that they worked very hard at it and had a big base of not only distributors, but, you know, a lot of product being moved. So it's not one of those things that was done easily at all. A lot of time was put onto it, but they were very successful. Now, my mom doesn't actively build distributors anymore. I think she has product available and that type of stuff, but they did very, very well, but they worked really, really hard, as most people that are successful do. But again, today, she's a produce broker. So, you know, it wasn't something that sustained them over the rest of their life, for sure. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on here to the next topic. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit based upon, you know, some of the experiences I've seen over my life and some of these, you know, get-rich schemes. And while it's not necessarily related to tech, it's anything that's out there is too good to be true, more than likely always is. Hey, the Samsung Galaxy S5 versus the competition. Of course, Samsung has basically shown off its shiny new Galaxy S5 at the Mobile World Congress. And we've got some the folks at Engadget have done a real good job of showing us the deltas between it, maybe like the Sony Xperia, the LG Pro 2, the HTC One, showing us really how it stacks up between each other. From a feature standpoint, batteries, storage, cameras, the whole nine yards. So if you want to see the specs will be up in the show notes. Now, another thing that they've done with the Samsung Galaxy S5 is they've introduced an ultra power saving mode to maximize the battery. Now, the Galaxy 5 doesn't skimp on battery power with an expected 10 hours of web browsing and 12 hours of video playback on a single charge. That's their claim. But when you're on hour 11 of watching cat videos with no charger, the handset's new ultra power saving mode will keep the handset purring around by making the screen black and white and turning off all non-essential services to your phone. Even better, Samsung says if you put your phone in standby mode with only 10% of the battery left, it will still last up to 24 hours before running out of juice. So it's a pretty huge claim. I'm sure a lot of people are going to put that to the test. When can you get the Samsung Galaxy S5? It's launching on April 11th in 150 countries. And, of course, it's going to be available in the U.S. on Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon Wireless, Metro PCS, and U.S. Cell. Ma Bell is going one step further, offering up Gear 2 and Gear Fit smartwatches as well as part of the offering of the Samsung Galaxy S5 launch. How many of you get these mailing lists? And how many of you sometimes try to unsubscribe from them? They really oftentimes don't unsubscribe you, just get more email. Well, soon you're going to be able to unsubscribe from any marketing email in your Gmail inbox. Google is finally ready to roll out its handy unsubscribe button, a link that's going to appear at the top of any promotional email, which will basically prompt your Gmail account to automatically send a message to the sender and request your removal from the list of recipients, which is pretty awesome, if you ask me. Verizon, on the other hand, is expecting to reach a deal of its own with Netflix. Of course, many of us suspect that Netflix's bandwidth deal with Comcast, we know probably will not be an isolated incident. It turns out that Verizon wants to get in on the party. Verizon chief Lowell McAdam told CNBC that he expects Comcast-like internet peering arrangement at some stage, and that Telecom has been talking to Netflix for roughly a year about just such a thing. So again, net neutrality no longer in existence. So guess what? They are going to have their hands out. Now, AT&T is also having their hand out as well. And what this is going to cost? It's going to cost all of us more money for subscriptions at Netflix and the telecom service providers, which we're buying internet service from already, are going to continue to get richer without giving us more speed. You know, it's like they have their cake and can eat it too. They're charging us to use their service. Now they're going to charge the people that have third-party stuff outside of them. They're going to charge them a toll. They're going to be a troll in the road that's going to stand there and hold out their hand and say, if you don't pass, we are not going to let your traffic through. Or we're going to put you through at a crawl and hold you up and hold up commerce and make your stuff a spoil before it gets to market. So it really irritates me in a big, big, big way how this is all playing out. The FCC at some point is going to have to get involved and say enough is enough. But I just don't know if the political willpower is there to do that. Switching topics here, DARPA is looking to end a scourge of counterfeit computer gear. You know, one thing that the United States has to worry about when it's buying electronics, whether it be computers, whether it be components, where exactly are these made? Are they the real deal? Are they fake? Are they, carrying the Intel name and they're really not an Intel chip? So we know that this could really, number one, cause a security issue, and number two, you're really not getting what you paid for. You're getting a substandard product or service. So the new Defense Advanced Research Project Agency will target these phony products and develop a tool to verify, without disrupting or harming the system, the trustworthiness of a protected electronic component. This is kind of cool. So we'll see what happens here with that, and I don't know if we'll hear much news on it. But time will tell whether or not DARPA is able to make something happen there. The Department of Defense is aiming to scrap the A-10 to keep F-35s alive. I'm sure that's going to make a lot of people very unhappy. But they're saying, basically DOD is saying, that they can replace that with MQ-9 Reaper and the Army's MQ-1C Gray Eagle. Again, drones. In my opinion, drones, you just know when they're with a head on a swivel watching stuff. Yeah, there might be a turret, but, it's kind of like looking through a fisheye lens. All right, there's a pretty cool article over on CNET. Did you guys hear about this asteroid that slammed into the moon? Well, it didn't happen yesterday. It happened on September 11th. But pretty amazing footage of an 880-pound asteroid smashing into the lunar surface was revealed today, showing a bright flash at the impact site. Lasts quite a while. This thing flashes, and then the brightness stays on for, you can see the heat pattern, even in the vacuum of space, for quite a while. But the asteroid landed in the Mars Nebulum part of the moon while traveling at 38,000 miles per hour. Of course, we know that the moon does not have the same sort of protective atmosphere as the Earth does, so asteroids really don't have an opportunity to burn up. They just go in for a full force landing. So pretty good video on it, too, YouTube video. You get to watch it. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, SanDisk has introduced its first 128-gigabit micro SD memory card. It's going to be a Class 10 card. So this is huge. This is the world's first 128-gig. Oh, it's a micro SD memory card. And that's huge. And what's it going to price for? Did they say how much? Nope. But I would think this is probably going to be a huge, very popular chip with the GoPro folks. People are shooting 4K video on devices and so forth. So anyway, 128 gig micro SD, first one, class 10. Zuckerberg let's see if I can destroy this article one more time. Zuckerberg talks what app internet access at Mobile World Congress. And he made a very interesting comment. He said his company's $19 billion acquisition of mobile web messaging service WhatsApp will allow the startup to focus on growing its user base and not making money. Over the next 5 years, with 465 million members, Zuckerberg believes WhatsApp is on track to reach a billion users. So that's an interesting move here. They don't care. Don't care about making money. They're going to figure it out later. I don't know. People like free. And as soon as you take free away, people run. There's a rumor on the street that Ford Sync is reportedly ditching Microsoft for BlackBerry. This is an interesting move here. Unnamed sources have told Bloomberg that Ford's Sync in-car communication entertainment system will soon be powered by BlackBerry's QNX-based operating system and not Windows. Now, this would be a huge win for BlackBerry, which is in a lot of trouble, and definitely a humiliating defeat for Microsoft, which we all know heavily courted Ford's chief Mollet to be its next CEO, but this is interesting. The source has said that Ford's decision to dump Windows for BlackBerry for Sync comes at a time when it's been struggling with in-car technology flaws, which implies it hasn't been happy with what it's gotten from Windows lately. So, big move here by Ford, if it's true. We'll keep our ears peeled with the contacts we have over at Ford, see if we get a confirmation on this. All right, Apple's brand new iOS 7 is already jailbroken. As BGR has reported several times, Apple plans to release did they get this from BGR? Oh, yeah, they did get this from BGR. This is actually on Yahoo, but the BGR article, I'll have a link to that instead. Basically, when Apple plans to release its major update in the coming weeks, iOS 7 will bring a number of visual changes and several intriguing new features. And it's also going to provide fixes for the lingering issues in iOS 7. So this is big. So we'll see what happens here with 7.1. But they say it's already been broken on the beta release of what's supposed to be the release version of iOS 7.1. You know, police officers are getting very, very, they don't like it when people video. They're getting very aggressive. And we all know that recording a police officer in public isn't a crime. You have to be in there's some ground rules. You have to be in a, public location. You can't be interfering with the ongoing investigation, arrest, or whatever may be happening. But a New York City police officer beat up and arrested a man for video recording him inside a subway station from 30 foot away on Saturday night, walking up to him and getting in his face, all the while claiming the man was invading his personal space. There was another guy that was standing around that area who basically then broke out his camera and started filming the police officer's aggressiveness with the guy that was doing the initial recording. Phones, batteries, memory cards, a bunch of stuff was taken out of phones to try to erase this. He was arrested. The gentleman that was doing the videotaping was arrested for resisting arrest and a few other things, but he was all the time on a public sidewalk. I think it was right outside of a subway station, but you guys can watch the video, see how this went down. Once again, police officers got to understand we live in a new age. I know they may be nervous about people filming them, but and people's emotions get hyped up when stuff's going on, but they got to learn to accept this. Time will tell. All right, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is pushing for private contractors to make a screening machine. This is an airport screening machine with a screen and walk capability for the use at nation's 180 international airports. The agency recently requested information from high-tech companies and other private firms about any new technology that can help speed up the security checkpoints managed by TSA and the Federal Protective Services. One thing I noticed on my flights coming out was when I was in Honolulu, I was in the TSA pre-line. I've been lucky enough to be TSA pre-approved. And there was about 4 or 5 of us in that line. And then there was a regular line for non-premium flyers that was pretty long. But as we were walking up, they were doing every other person, one person from the TSA pre-line, one person from the regular check-in line, and allowing them to go through TSA pre. So it shows me that somehow, and they were doing this in Vegas too, so it shows me that TSA is allowing more people to not have to take off their shoes, their belts, have to take their computer. They don't have to take their computers out of their bags. So they're allowing a lot more people through on this. And I've always questioned, okay, they, you know, basically I had to go through some paperwork to get TSA pre. And having, you know, prior background, I'm sure with the military and so forth, probably didn't help my, you know, probably helped my approval process. But it is interesting that they are really kind of being less secure at the airports. That's what it kind of looks like to me. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I never really minded the more aggressive screening. I did opt out of the x-ray machine, though, and opt for the pat-down each time. I think I went through it once because I was really short on time, but, you know, they always would, you know, not be happy with me when I would do that. But it is an interesting move by TSA and what they're doing. All right, there's an article over on PC World, and the headline on this should not surprise any of us. Verizon, heavy web users should pay more. You know, this is an ongoing thing. You know, we have to understand that, and Verizon has to understand, we're all on the web all the time. You know, we're very, very digitally connected. But the CEO of Verizon suggests that broadband power users should pay extra. He says it's only natural that the heavy users help contribute to investment to keep the web healthy. This is the most important concept of net neutrality. The FCC needs to look at the broad internet industry, not just broadband providers, when it considers new neutrality rules, McAdams said. Companies like Netflix, Apple, Microsoft, and Google have a role, and any rules will have to include all of these players, he said. McAdams called for the FCC to create light touch rules on net neutrality. The FCC needs to consider growing uses of broadband and machine in other fields. He said everything from healthcare to telematics to the energy grid need to be balanced with someone who's trying to watch last year's episode of TV show NCIS. So, you know, it's just these guys just want more money, more money, more money, more money. And those of us that use the web a lot, they want us to pay. I'm already paying an extraordinary amount of money for internet access every month. It's sickening how much I have to spend, to be honest with you. It really is. As compared to, you know, the other 40 countries that are ahead of us that offer, you know, these types of services at a much lower price, only in the United States can they get away with some of this crap. It really... And the public are just a bunch of sheeple, you know, and they just continue to follow the, you know, and they don't complain. It's you know, I just don't get it. Why do we have a bunch of sheeple? And then, you don't take that wrong. I know all of you that listen to the show are active and calling and making comments and complaining and promoting where you need to. But let's face it, the rest of the general public, they just would rather get their credit cards out and pay more, pay more, pay more, and pay more. I'm sick of paying more, to be honest with you. I really, really am. All right, off my little mini soapbox there, WinZip. You guys remember WinZip? Well, they've had to remake the company. WinZip has moved to the cloud with the launch of ZipShare, a way to zip, manage, and share all your online files. Isn't that familiar? Back to the cloud we go. So ZipShare, a new cloud service that's going to be available for folks that are using, I guess, WinZip. they say, though, ZipShare is not looking to become yet another cloud storage provider. Instead, the company is thinking of a new service as a means of making its WinZip technology more relevant in today's world. WinZip has been around a long, long, long time, and there's lots of competition out there for it. There really, really is. All right, can you believe it? I'm very close to wrapping up on tonight's show. I told you it would be short and sweet, and it doesn't help that I didn't talk for 15 minutes at the beginning of the show tonight. But what I want to do here is I want to see what we had for email, and let me go over to, wrong email account, and let's load that one. And I'm waiting here. That's one thing good about not having a the camera, everything here. I don't have to worry about what's going on. Let's see here. All right. Got an email. What's the date today? Yeah, that's still good. Got an email from Tim. He says, "Hey Todd, generally find," and this is about, he's calling it Metro Mile is the comment here. He says, "Generally, I find those secret well-placed Twitter ads annoying, but I found something while browsing on Twitter that interested me. A company called Metro Mile was giving out their vehicle diagnostic port devices called Metromes for free. You use the device attached to your car with an iOS app. I was intrigued because usually the hardware costs between $120 with a free smartphone app. So I signed up, and within 24 hours, I was notified my shipment was on its way to my house and would arrive within 5 days. While attached, you can use your smartphone to figure out many things, such as how your driving performance is affecting gas mileage, vehicle diagnostic problems, and even help you find your car if you forgot where you parked it. I've wanted one of these to attach my car for a while, but did not want to pay for it at the price offered by third parties. I gradually applied and had to wait several months to be accepted into a similar program through State Farm Insurance. A few days after my State Farm device arrived in the mail, I signed up with Metro Mile, so I'll get to send back the State Farm device, which is only free the first year and supposed to lower your rates, although it can have the opposite effect, of course. I don't know what their business model is giving away free software and hardware, but their intentions seem to be wanting to start or expand an insurance business using those devices. It seems to be only an option, though, at the moment. You can only get their insurance through Oregon or Washington. I live in California. Looking forward to playing with this when it arrives. Metromile.com. Thanks for that, Tim. I appreciate it. Got an email from Tim, not Tim, Curtis. He says, "Hey, Todd," and this was in regards to the talking about Austin's speed limits and the DHL marketing ploy. He says, "I was a little suspicious when I saw the driver struggling with the packages. Apparently, that DHL video was some sort of a scam." Also, Bree, no on a meetup at this point, but thanks for asking. I will have to continue to watch my schedule, and if something opens up, I'll let everyone that has emailed me know. All right, folks, that's going to wrap me up tonight. Very, very quick. Very, very quick show. We'll see how the Tascam did from an audio quality standpoint. But I want to thank all of you for listening today to this audio-only version of the Geek News Central podcast. One more episode like that before I'm back in Honolulu. But it's been my pleasure to bring the show. Email it to me. Email your comments to me at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-73. What am I talking about? The voicemail line is gone. That was kind of dumb. That was an old habit that came out. Tweet me at geeknews or email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And if you want to leave a voice comment, there is a link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you. Thanks for being here. Aloha.